Thank you, Brother Johnson, and good morning, brothers and sisters. Greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and trust that you are all keeping well and safe, and even in the midst of this uncertain times, the Lord is giving us week after week to gather in this fashion virtually, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We thank God for another opportunity to listen to His precious word. I'm going to read one verse, and based on that, I'm going to share with you something that the Lord has burdened, put on my heart. And that is from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. That will be the basis of my message this morning. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. And the verse goes like this. And if you have a Bible, you can also read along with me. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. We are living in a world that everything in the world will one day pass away. But it is comforting to know that those who does the will of God abides forever. The scripture speaks about things that do not decay, things that cannot be destroyed. And we can call it, as the scripture calls it, as incorruptibility. Now, the scripture has a lot to say about incorruptible things. The word incorruptible means that things cannot decay, things that cannot be destroyed, things which will abide forever, things which are eternal. And that is the subject of my message this morning, the incorruptible things. When we first came to Australia, you know, when we were setting up our home, I was looking for a mattress. So I went to a particular shop, and I was looking at different varieties of mattress. And the first thing that I asked the lady at the counter was, how many years warranty does this bed, this mattress has? And she said, this mattress has a lifetime warranty. Then I said, down in few years time, if something happens to this mattress, what will you do? And she said, we are going to replace it with a brand new mattress. Then I said, what happens after 20 years if something happens to this mattress? And she said, no, we are not going to replace it with a new mattress. And that is then I came to know the lifetime warranty doesn't mean that it is a warranty forever, but the life of the mattress is only 10 years. And within that 10 years, if something happens to the mattress, the company is going to replace it with a brand new one. That shows that one day that mattress, you know, how much you spent on it, how costly it is, how expensive it is, one day it will decay and it will be destroyed. We are living in an uncertain world. There are many things which are corrupt. There are many things which are perishable. There are many things which will decay and will be gone. But the scriptures talks about incorruptible things, things that cannot decay, things that will last forever. Now, firstly, the scripture talks about incorruptible God. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 1, and verse 12. 23. Romans chapter 1 and verse 23. It goes like this: and change the glory of incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. The scripture here says in this verse, our God is an incorruptible God. If you see in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17, our God is immortal, He is eternal, and He is invisible. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I do not change. Our God is an unchanging God. Our God is an incorruptible God. Why? Because He is a perfect God. Now, you cannot improve upon perfection. If you are able to improve upon perfection, then it is not perfect. Our God is a perfect God, and that's why He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The scripture says that He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. The scripture says that He is the first and the last, Revelation 1:17. The scripture also says that in Him there is no variation or shadow of turning, James chapter 1 and verse 17. We are living in a changing world. It is very comforting to know that we have a God who is unchanging. An unchanging God in a changing world. Now, what does this all mean to us? That He is incorruptible, He is unchanging, He is immutable, He is eternal. That God has to be acknowledged, and that God has to be worshipped. That God has to be respected. Now, if you see the verse that we have read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 23, if you see the context of it, that passage speaks about God's wrath on unrighteous people. These unrighteous people, if you see in verse 18, it says they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Even though God is manifested in them, God has shown it to them internally and also externally. When they see the creation of God, they can see the visible attributes of God, the power, the eternal power of God. And the scripture says they are without excuse, not only internally, but externally also. When we see this beautiful creation that God has created, we just don't see and say it is so beautiful, but we see the glory and the power behind it. And the scripture tells that God has to be acknowledged and that God has to be worshipped. Man is a religious creature. He worships something or the other. God created man so that man can acknowledge and worship Him. But instead, the scriptures here in the context says that He has changed the glory of incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Can you imagine? Instead of worshiping the Creator, man is worshiping the creature. Today, people worship science. They worship communism. They worship humanism. They worship money. They worship pleasures. We see people worshiping celebrities. In India, there are temples built in the name of celebrities. Can you imagine people worshiping a mortal man, a sinful man, a man who decays soon? They have changed the glory of an incorruptible God into a corruptible image. Thank God, this is the God that we worship every day in our life. This is the God we acknowledge in our life, that He is sovereign, that He has become Lord of my life. Incorruptible God. And the second thing the scripture talks about, the incorruptibleness, is the incorruptible word of God. If you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. As I was looking and reading the first epistle of Peter, for a few months we have been looking into just the first chapter of this epistle, 1 Peter. And the interesting that I've seen is Peter mentions very often about the incorruptible things in the scriptures, things that does not fade away, things that last forever. Here he talks about the incorruptible seed of God's word, isn't it? Peter is reminding the believers who are suffering, who are going through difficult times in their lives, who have been scattered and went into hiding, is reminding them how great is their salvation. He's reminding them that salvation is the work of God's grace. They have been saved when they believed in the gospel, the truth of God's word. And he uses that word, he says, you have been born again. The word born again means to beget again. When we were born the first time, we were born sinful. We were born with a corruptible seed. Now that word seed means human origin. It speaks about parentage. We have inherited the corruptible, sinful nature from our parents because they are sinful. And we pass on that sinful nature to our children. And our children will pass on to their children. Corruptible things will produce, corruptible seed will produce corruptible things. But here, scripture says, because we were born wrong the first time, we need to be born the right way. And that's why we should be born again. We should be born in the kingdom, in the family of God. Incorruptible seed produces incorruptible things. And how did this happen? How did you experience salvation? How were you born again? It is by the Holy Spirit, and the means of our born again experience is the incorruptible seed of the word of God. That word of God lives in us. And that word of God, we have been saved. See what John chapter 3 verses 5 and 6 says. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That water represents the word of God. It is the word of God that we have been saved. And Peter goes on to say, the word of God which lives and abides forever. Everything can decay and change. Peter says in verse 24, He compares our life, our flesh, with grass. And he says, all the glory of man is like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18, Jesus said, for assuredly I say to you, heaven and earth will pass away. One jot or one tittle by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. We know Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and it is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Psalms 119:89, the psalmist says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Down through the ages, people wanted to destroy the word of God, but they failed. Today it is the best selling book in the world. It is translated in more than 1,400 languages. The word of God seems to be brings inspiration. It gives life to people. It is like a compass that will lead and guide people. And that's why Peter is reminding to those suffering saints. He's telling, everything will fade away, but the word of God will live and abides forever. It says, the flesh is as grass. The glory of man is the flower of the grass. We spend a lot of time taking care of our garden. We water the grass every day. We spend a lot of money to take care of those grass. In the recent times when we had this water problem, we were not allowed to water our garden. What happened? In a week's time, that grass dried up. Everything dried up and gone. That is our life. Our life is fragile. Our life is like a flower that appears beautiful and it fades away. But Peter here reminds, the word of the Lord lives and abides forever. In verse 23, he says, the word of God, the Greek word is logos. But the word that he uses in verse 25 is the word rhema. In English, we only say the word of God. But in the Greek, there are two words that are used. One is logos, that is the inspired word of God. And the second, verse 25, he uses the word rhema, which is the spoken word of God. Logos is like a well of water. It is the inspired word of God. It is the entire word of God. But we draw out from this well of word of God. The spoken word of God. What Peter is trying to say is, it is not only we should read the word of God, not only we should hear the word of God, but we should also heed the word of God, the incorruptible word of God. Let's see what the scripture says about the incorruptible things. The third one is the incorruptible blood of Jesus Christ. We find that in 1 Peter chapter 1, in that same chapter, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Peter is reminding the believers in this chapter about their great and their glorious salvation. And in these verses, he's also reminding them about their great redemption as well. He's reminding the saints the cost of the price that Jesus paid in order to redeem them from the bondage of sin. When God created this universe, he just spoke and the creation came into existence. But in order to redeem mankind, he had to do more than that. He had to shed his blood. He had to come into this world to die for us on the cross and to shed his precious blood. Creation is the work of his finger, but redemption and salvation was the work of his hand. Today, many liberal Christians, they do not want to talk about blood. They do not mention blood. They say, when you talk about the sacrifices in the Old Testament, how animals are slaughtered, Christianity is a religion of gore. But the fact remains, as the writer of the Hebrews says in Hebrews 9:22, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ has to become a lamb without blemish and without spot to be sacrificed on that cruel cross. His blood was shed for the remission of the sins of many. I'm sure when Peter was writing these verses, he had the Passover lamb in his mind. If you go to Exodus chapter 12, on the night of the Passover, the Lord said, you have to take a lamb without spot or without blemish. You have to kill that animal. The blood has to be collected in the basin. That blood has to be applied on the doorposts and on the lintels. And then the Lord says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. It is that blood that protected them from the coming death. It was that blood that saved them from the bondage. It was that blood that delivered them from that bondage. It was that blood that was so powerful. In the Old Testament, these were types and shadows. But when we come to the New Testament, we see the reality. Jesus Christ himself said, this is a new covenant in my blood, shed for the remission of many. It is that blood, brothers and sisters, that cleanses us, that redeems us. We have that beautiful verse in Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 11 and 12. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and a more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, that he entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Have you seen that? Peter says, we have not been redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We need to understand that it is that blood that brought redemption to us, brothers and sisters. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood. In the Old Testament, the high priest on the Day of Atonement has to take the blood and went into the most holy place and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat in the tabernacle. When you come to New Testament, Jesus Christ, our great high priest, he took that blood himself and went into the heavenly sanctuary and offered that blood on that mercy seat. And that blood remains there forever and for eternity. And that blood cannot be destroyed. It is incorruptible. Peter says that blood is precious. That means it is valuable. It is costly because there is life in the blood. A life has been offered. A man, a sinless man, had to be sacrificed. An innocent blood has to be shed for the remission of our sins. Peter says, we have not been redeemed by the corruptible things like silver and gold. If there is anything that is precious in this world, brothers and sisters, it is silver and it is gold. The wealth of a country is not determined by how much currency they have, how much gold they have. It is determined by the gold and silver. In ancient days, when a slave has to be redeemed, they used to pay a ransom in coins of gold and silver. And that's why Peter uses this imagery. And he says, we have not been redeemed by silver and gold. Because Peter himself says in the second epistle of Peter, and he says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up, including silver and gold. But we have been redeemed by the incorruptible blood of Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon said, the blood of Jesus is the life of the gospel. If I do not mention blood, there is nothing for me to preach. The blood of Jesus Christ is central to the gospel. If you take away blood from the gospel, there is nothing for man to be saved. The incorruptible blood of Christ. Fourthly, the scripture talks about incorruptible inheritance. Saying 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Peter is reminding the saints and the church, and he's telling, our new birth guarantees our heavenly inheritance. The believers who are suffering for their faith, they have lost their homes. They have lost their possessions. They have to leave everything and be scattered and go into hiding. But Peter reminds these believers and says, there is an eternal inheritance, incorruptible inheritance, reserved just for you. The source of our inheritance, brothers and sisters, is Christ himself. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11 says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance. The source of our inheritance is God himself. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And then he goes on to say, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The scripture tells us that we are heirs of eternal life. Titus chapter 3 and verse 7. The scripture says we are heirs of salvation. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. The scripture says we are heirs of the promise of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. The scripture says we are the heirs of glory. Ephesians 1 and verse 18. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 says we are heirs of righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says we are heirs. the grace of life. Remember how rich we are. We may be poor in this world. We may not have any possessions, but we are rich in the Lord because God has prepared an inheritance and no one can take away. The scripture says, an inheritance that is reserved in heaven for you. See the nature of our inheritance. Peter says in verse 4, it is incorruptible, it seems. It will not fade away. It will not be perishable. It cannot be destroyed. It has a lasting value. It is forever and ever. And then he says, it is undefiled. It is unpolluted. It is pure. And then he says, it does not fade away. Just like a flower that blossoms and looks so beautiful and lasts, our inheritance will last forever. The writer of Hebrews reminds the suffering Hebrews, because of their faith, because they believed in Christ, they have been mocked, they have been ridiculed, and they have been stripped off their possessions. The government has confiscated their possessions. And to them he writes in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34, he says, for you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourself in heaven. He says, it is an enduring possession. These believers who left everything and stood for their faith, they have been confiscated their properties. And Peter and the writer of Hebrews is telling, how can you go back again to the world and face the judgment of God? Because your inheritance that you have in Christ is enduring, that does not fade away. The incorruptible inheritance of the saints. And fifthly, the scripture speaks about incorruptible beauty. 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 3 and 4. The incorruptible beauty. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. This passage is written to genuine Christian godly woman, woman who honored the Lord, woman who trusted in Christ. To them he is writing, and Peter is telling, it is not just enough to adorn yourself by outward appearance. The word adorn means arrangement of ornaments or clothes on the body. But this word adornment also means behavior and demeanor of a woman. Her conduct, the way she talks, the way she behaves in public, the way she walks. Her conduct and behavior, that's what Peter is talking about. He's talking about, it's not enough to adorn herself by outward appearance, but the hidden person of the heart has to be adorned. See what he says? Rather, let it be the hidden person. What is that hidden person? It is our inner life. It is the inward man. It is the new creation that God has made. That heart has to be adorned. And then he says, it should be adorned with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit. Gentle or a meek spirit, they are the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. A gentle and a meek spirit is a spirit that is a discipline, a spirit that is under control at all times. Meekness is anger under control. Here is talking about a godly woman who keeps everything under control, her emotions, her behavior. And then he talks about the quiet spirit. A quiet spirit is a peaceful spirit. This woman, godly woman, not only has peace with God, she has peace with her husband as well. She will build peace and she will promote peace in the house for every member of the family and also those who visit that home. And Peter says, that is incorruptible. That is the true beauty. And that beauty, Peter says, has value, which is precious in the sight of God. God's eye is on the beauty, on that inner beauty of a woman. The beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. This applies to everyone, men and women as well. We should adorn that inner man with that beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit. Proverbs 31:25 says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Our adornment should not be just outward, but adorning our inner man with the beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit. And then Peter says, they are called as the daughters of Sarah. If you see in verse 5, it says, for in this manner, former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husband. And Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And Peter says, whose daughters you are if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. Woman who honors the Lord. Woman who adorns her inner man, inward man, with the beauty of a quiet and a gentle spirit. They are called as the daughters of Sarah. Sarah was a godly woman. The scripture says she honored God. She respected her husband as well. Here it says, she called him Lord. She respected the authority that God has placed over her. These women, in the scriptures, they were not known for their wardrobes, but they were known for their godliness and their goodness. The incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit. Sixthly, the scripture speaks about incorruptible body. Incorruptible body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 53. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And in that same chapter, verses 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Have you seen that? Paul is talking about the changes that will take place in our bodies at resurrection. Presently, our body is corruptible. They age, they deteriorate, they die and decay, but there will be day when the Lord will come. The dead in Christ will raise first. Our corruptible body will be transformed into an incorruptible body. This corruptible body will put on incorruption. This mortal body will put on immortality. That day our body will become the perfect body, just like our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious body. They never age. They never decay. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21 says, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. What a blessed hope that we have. In this world, we are bound to earth limitations. We have sickness. We have so many infirmities, so many problems that we go through. But there will be a day when this corruptible body will put on incorruption. Adam had lived for 930 years. Methuselah has lived for 969 years. But after the flood, the longevity of human beings have been drastically reduced. We see that Psalmist says in Psalms 90 and verse 10, the days of all life are 70 years. And if it by reason of strength, they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. But there is a hope that one day this corruption will put on incorruption, and this mortal body will put on immortality, and this saying will come true when the death is swallowed up in victory. We don't have time to go into this, and finally I close with this. The scripture speaks about the incorruptible crown. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24 and 25 says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who is competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it obtain a perishable crown, but we for an incorruptible crown. Imperishable crown. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Brothers and sisters, Paul is comparing our life to a race. In Corinth, outside of the city of Corinth, there was a venue called as Isthmia. Every 2 years, Greek, games were held. You know, there was boxing. There were many other sport events. But here, Paul talks about a particular illustration, that is the athletic event. Paul is telling our Christian life is like a race. We need to run this race. We have to finish this race. Now, when a person takes part in the athletic event, when he wins the race, he will be given a crown made out of oak or olive leaves. Isn't it? And that day when he stands, when he wins that event, and when he stands on the podium to receive that crown, he will be so proud. And he says, it was all worth it all. Because he has put in so much of effort, so much of strain. For years he has practiced, he disciplined his body, he built his muscles and lungs, he built his stamina, only for that one moment to win that crown. But Paul says that crown is perishable. That crown will not last forever. But do you know, brothers and sisters, one day God is going to give us a crown. And that crown is a victor's crown. The Greek word is Stephanos. That crown will never fade away. It is an incorruptible crown. How many times in the scriptures we talk about, the scripture talks about this crown. 2 Timothy 4:8, Paul talks about the crown of righteousness. We talk about the crown of rejoicing in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. We have seen in 1 Peter 5:4, crown of glory. James chapter 1 and verse 12, the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, again, the crown of life. That is the crown that you and I are going to receive, the incorruptible crown. Brothers and sisters, we are living in a changing world. But we can take comfort knowing that in a changing world, we have an unchanging God. A God who is immutable. A God in whom we can trust. A God who abides in us. The songwriter Henry Francis Light, in one of the verses of his songs, he says, "Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me." May the Lord bless this word. Over to you, Brother John.